talk to you.
Judy, hello.
Hi.
Hi, we're the only two. Do you have a good day today?
Mm-hmm. Real good.
Well, thank you. That's good.
He has said when he doesn't come on to text him, but I don't have a phone to text.
I heard somebody. It's all right.
Oh, he's
okay.
There.
I have arrived.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Sorry for the delay.
That's okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I hope you're all well.
Yes,
we're blessed. Thank you.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoach. Anna Bekoach, Gedula Cheminecha, Berah,
Aleph
Gimel Tavshadi, Kabel Rinat, the letters of the month of Adar, the Kuf that created the constellation Dagim, the Fishes, Pisces, and the Gimel that created the planet Tzedek, the planet Jupiter, the planet of righteousness. Na Gibor Dor Shehudcha Bevavat Shamron Nun Gimel Dalad
Yudkav Shin.
The sequence Yud Kaf Shin is a healing sequence that allows us to take any part of our body that needs healing back to its stem cell state, where it can be cleansed, where it can be healed, where it can be rejuvenated. and then returning it to the body in its newly recreated pristine state, where it will again do its job as it was created to do perfectly. Bachem tacharem rachamim yisidkata tamim gam lem tetresh tzaditach gimel chasin kadosh shiroz tucha na'el adata et kuf bet yachid ge'er lamcha p'nei zokrei kidushata Shavatenu kabel matiyakatenu yodea talumot shinkufav sadiyata. We're now going to read the four verses that connect us to the energy of last year and this year. Last year, while we made changes, we did not complete those changes, and we can always be concerned that we might slip and fall back. We keep saying these letters, these verses, so they continue to help us maintain the level we've reached and complete that level that we want to reach, which is the level of consciousness where the world has reached a state of a ceasefire or peace in the Middle East. That was Samuel Bet, chapter 7, verse 10. Now we're going to read the three verses that connect us to this year, starting with Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishemi lo tani adili ruchi. Now we're going to read 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. In our last verse that connects us to this year, Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kigelo lanet yom ruayom. The energy of this year is the opportunity to see past the illusion of death and recognize that we do not have to die. We're now going to read the Zohar. This is from the Parsha Vayikra. And we're going to read section 1. And Moshe, and he called to Moshe. Pasuk 1. But we start with the verse, prayer, statement that aligns our consciousness to the unity and the unification of the four letters of the name of God, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, as well as unifying the physical world with the spiritual world, the male with the female, Zeran Pin with Malchut. Hashem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bid Chilu Urchimud Chilu Leakta Shem Yudke Bavavke Piyehuda Shalim Bishem Kol Yisrael. Pasuk 1 of Section 1 of Parasha Vayikra from the Zohar. Rabbi Elazar Patach She'al lecha ot meim Hashem Elohecha ha'amek she'ala o agbeha lemala istachalna bedarin kadmain bedarin batrein ma ben darin kadmain Darin batrain, darin kadmain, awo, yadin, umistachlin, bechachmata ila'a, vaidain, letzarfa, atwan deit yahivu, leya le Moshe, Besinai ve'apilu Chayavin divhon B'Yisrael ha'wo Yadin goy atvan Achmeta ila'a Vayadin goy atvan Ila'in v'gomer Advan tatain achmeta leanhaga ovadin behai alma. I apologize, I forgot to mention how you can find the handout. On the Revealed Wisdom section of the Yeshem website, scroll down to the matrix, the first row. The right-hand column is the link to all of the different Zohars that we've put on our website. On that page, scroll down to the book of Leviticus. The first link under that is the Parasha Vayikra. When you open up that link, you'll see a number of handouts as well as recordings from previous years. Please feel free to listen to the earlier years at any time during the week or any time during the year, really. But it is always good to hear or to say or to read or to scan any verse from the Zohar. The more that you have the time to do, the stronger the light is revealed. I'm going to read the translation of that first verse. Rabbi Elazar opens the discussion with the verse, "Ask a sign." The Hebrew word for letter, ot, is translated in this case as a sign because sometimes it also means a sign. Or maybe it's telling us that a letter is a sign. Continuing to translate, "Ask a sign of Hashem, your Elohim. Ask it either in the depths or in the height above. I looked at the earlier generations and the later generations. What is the difference between the earlier generations and the later generations? The earlier generations knew and perceived the supernal wisdom, and knew to permutate the letters which were given to Moses at Sinai. Even the wicked people among Israel, such as Ahaz, were familiar with letters of supernal wisdom. For the prophet said to him, ask a sign. The Hebrew, the word is ot. If Ahaz was unversed in supernal wisdom, the prophet would not have spoken to him thus. And through higher letters drawn from Bina, and lower letters drawn from Malchut, they gained wisdom that helped them manage their lives. My commentary. There are three sizes of letters in the Torah scroll. The majority of the letters are called regular size, and they originate in Zeranpin. There are small letters, and they originate in Malchut, while the larger letters originate in Bina. Elsewhere, the Zohar explains that there are three different Aleph Bets. This needs to be contemplated. It is truly an amazing revelation of wisdom. When one is listening to the reading of the Torah, many times one does not follow the reading. They're not standing next to the Bina, to the Bima. They're not seeing the scroll itself. Sometimes the book they read from doesn't even show these different sized letters. Many times it does. But the understanding to think about is when there is a large letter, it originates in Bina. It's drawing its energy from even a higher source than the normal letters of the Torah scroll. And even when it is a small letter, it's drawing its energy from a high level called Malchut, which we don't truly understand because we talk in terms of Malchut is our physical world. And it isn't. It is and it isn't. And that's something to contemplate. The second pasuk. Begin de kol at viat deit masar leya le moshe hawo mitatrin besalkin al reshaihu dechewan ilain kadishin bekuhu chevan hawo mitatrei behu afarchin goi awera benachta migoi aravera ila ad kik ila yadia. This is because each and every letter, the Hebrew word is zot, is ot, that was transmitted to Moses was crowned and rose over the heads of the holy supernal living creatures. The secret of the supernal chariot, which are Chesed and Gevurah, Tiferet and Malchut, all the living creatures were crowned with the letters, even the living creatures of the lower chariot, which is Malchut. They flew in the air of Israel Saba and Tevunah, which descends from the supernal air that is fine and unknown, which is in supernal Abba and Ima. My commentary. A Hebrew letter is more than a mark on a page. It is more than a sign in the sky, as is expressed in this Zohar Pasuk. A Hebrew letter is a power source. It is a power station. It is a tool that creates. It channels the energy and consciousness of the one making the word, the statement, into physical creation. This also applies to spiritual creation. Understand this well. Pasuk 3. And I should mention, just in case someone is new and does not know, anytime you have a question, even if it's a question on something that's outside of what we're reading at this moment, interrupt me. This is not a class this is an interaction between teacher and student. Just as our souls have been interchanged, so do our words need to be interchanged. And I'm here to answer questions, whatever they may be. Wisalkin and Venachtin Advan Ravravin Viatvan Dekikin Advan Ravravin Nachtin Mugoy Hekala Ila Atamira Dekola Viatvan Dekikin Hawo Nachtin Migoy Hekala Acharatata Weilin Elain Veilain Itmasaru Leia Lemoshe Besinai. Both the great letters and the small letters would go up and down. Great letters going down from the supernal chamber, which is concealed from all, which is Bina. And the small letters going down from another lower chamber, Malchut. All of these were transmitted to Moses at Sinai. The Pasuk is self-explanatory, so there is no commentary. The fourth Pasuk. V'chibura v'advan d'inun mitchabran Metimiru b'kol at v'at gegon Aleph at yechida Mitchabran ima bitmiru Tirein acharanin le'la V'kain. Actually, it's Lamed Pei. Wigomer Kulhu. My mistake. Vekain Kulhu Itmasaru Leia Lemoshe Bisinai Vekulhu Temirin Goy Chavraya Yo. Zakain inun. I'm going to take this opportunity to explain once again something that we all may have heard, but it's always good to remember. When you hear me make a mistake, and I do many times, I will take the time to correct it. Why do I do that? Because this is an easy tool to correct, to make tikkun. The correction of the sound corrects my soul. And your hearing of that correction is a tikkun that helps light the way for your correction. Hashem is merciful, and He makes things easy, not difficult. Life is hard, but not because of Hashem's wish, but because we choose not to learn how to receive His beneficence. And that's why it's important. If you mispronounce a word, if you know that you've mispronounced a word, that's His mercy. Use it. It's a tool. The joining of the letters, which secretly join in every letter, such as Aleph, which is a single letter secretly joined by two other letters, namely Lamed and Pei. When you pronounce Aleph, there's three letters said. One is revealed, and two are concealed. One is the letter itself, the letter Aleph. The concealed letters are the rest of the sound, Lamed and Pei. In pronouncing the letter, so too in articulating the name of the letter Bet, it is joined by Yud and Tav. They were all transmitted to Moses at Sinai as well, and all are known in secret by the friends. They are fortunate. My commentary. Every letter has a revealed aspect and a concealed aspect. The revealed aspect is the letter in the Torah scroll. Each of these letters has a concealed aspect, which is the energy of the pronouncing of a letter. This concealed aspect is part of the letter, and part of the word, and part of the verse. The Kabbalists know this and utilize this as part of their wisdom. Learn this and use it in your own life. Most of us may know this intellectually, but we don't use it. We don't take a verse apart. We don't analyze the verse. The first step in analyzing a verse for me is to count the number of words and to count the number of letters. Not because I'm connected to numbers. Not because these numbers are meaningful to me and to everyone. But because this is the essence. It's another level of communication. There are many levels of creation. There are many levels of creation from each word that you speak. And that Hashem assess, especially all of the levels that Hashem created with just the voice of the way he used the letters, the tools of creation. The fifth pasuk. She'alecha ot, ot mamash. Tekul hu hawo, nadlin beraza diatvan, vekain biratav makitiv, untatem liot, emet daatvav, didaikre ot emet. Ve'ite ma she'ar atvan lavinun emet. Ine la'ot da'ot emet ikre. Ask a sign. The Hebrew word is ot. Ask a letter. Means literally a letter. Everyone was conversant in the secrets of the letters. With Rachav, what is written? And give me a true token. The Hebrew word is Ot. This letter, this refers to the letter Vav, which is called a true letter. If you infer from this that the other letters are not true, that is not so. Nonetheless, this letter Vav is called the true letter, unlike the other letters which are not so called. For Vav indicates Zeranpin, called truth. As in the verse, you shall show truth to Jacob. As I'm reading this, and I've written this commentary a few years ago, I realize that there's a whole different level. What is a true letter? Now, we have from archaeology, the science of archaeology, I should say, but it's really a projection of somebody's ideas. Archaeologists indicates that there was a script before the Asherit script that is used in the Torah. The Kabbalists teach that that's, that may be so, but the Asherit script that's used in the Torah is actually what's used in the higher worlds because it represents the power source. It represents the energy itself. And the Vav, the hook, which is the meaning of the letter Vav, is a letter that is composing other letters. For example, there's a Vav in an Aleph. There's a Vav in a Gimel. There's a Vav in a Mem. Do I need to show you where those Vavs are? I can't do it over the recording. But the essence of it, when it says the Vav is a true letter, it may be referring to that level of being a component of the other letters. And what does that mean in terms of creation? Use a computer as an example metaphor in your mind. Is the chip that computes the computer screen? No, it's not. They're two different things. But they're all components of the computer. A true letter is a letter that is used to create other letters. It provides the energy source, the energy tool. I'm using energy a lot in this commentary. What do I mean by energy? Spiritual energy. It's easy for me to say, oh, well, you know what I mean. But Kabbalah is a language of branches. You don't know what I mean because you don't know which world I'm talking about, which world I'm describing. We always must define our location spatially and temporally, time-wise. And this is how we reach the spiritual levels. My original written commentary. Do you know who Rachav is? She is the woman, the madam, who helped the two spies when they went into the land under the orders of Joshua. When the people were ready to go into the land. In that Torah story, which is a veil to the connection to the Creator, she asked for an oat, which can be a letter or a sign. The true letter Vav is spelled Vav Aleph Vav, or it can be spelled Vav Yud Vav, which has a gematria of 13, Vav Aleph Vav, indicating unity and oneness. She was requesting to be made part of the Jewish people. She was asking to convert in a concealed way. Do you see how powerful the Kabbalah is? If you learn the aspects that are concealed, it enhances your wisdom. The result for Rachav is she did convert, and she married Joshua, according to the Midrash. The sixth pasuk. Ta'amek sha'ala da'ot Hashem batra Devishma kadisha ot hagbeha lemala Da'at yud resha devishma kadisha Vedaihu raza diktiv Sha'alecha ot meim Hashem Elohecha ot mishma kadisha mashma Dikti meim Hashem Dedayu shema dekudsha Barichu et padveya Umashkina kaim alda. Ask it either in the depths, refers to the last hey of the holy name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, while are in the height above refers to the letter Yud, in the head of the holy name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. This is the hidden meaning of the verse, ask a sign, a letter of Hashem your Elohim, which means a letter from the holy name. It is implied by the verse, a sign of Hedem, of Hashem, which is a name of the Holy One, blessed be He. One letter of it, the tabernacle, which is Malchut, which is called Yur Elohim, is based on this letter, because Malchut receives from Zeranpin, which is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Therefore, the verse states, Hashem, Yur Elohim. There should be a commentary here, because it's not clear what's being said, and I'm not sure why I didn't write a commentary. I know why I didn't write a commentary, because I wasn't sure. Because to me, the heights above, yes, they're Yud, but also don't, Yud and Hey are always together. They're always unified. And so you cannot really separate the Yud from the Hey in the name of Hashem. Chachma and Bina are connected. You have an unconscious and a conscious. The unconscious is always dictating and directing the conscious. You may think it's not. You may think the logic and understanding that you develop through your learning as a child in the Western world or even in the Eastern world, you may think that it's yourself, but it really isn't. It's coming from that level we call unconscious. And Malchut receives from Zeranpin, which is not the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, but only the Vav. So maybe Rabbi Ashlag meant to say, and people misunderstood, maybe he meant to say, receives from Zeranpin of the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. But therefore the verse states, Hashem your Elohim. This is a phrase that is used frequently in the Torah. It's talking about mercy, Hashem, and judgment, Elohim, in unity. People don't understand this. These are names of God. What is a name when it relates to you? It's a metaphor for your soul, which is a metaphor for your consciousness. What is a name when it comes to God? It's not a metaphor for the whole of God, but an attribute. Hashem is mercy. Elohim is judgment. Hashem, your Elohim, is an indication of unity of these two opposite attributes, or are they truly opposite? I'll give you to think and contemplate this aspect. If you draw a circle and on one point of the circle you put the energy of love, of affinity, where is hate on that circle? Most people's immediate reaction is to say opposite, but it's not opposite. Apathy, disinterest is opposite. Hate is right next to love. And that's why many times people's reactions and emotions of love and hate become so twisted and unclear, because the line that separates love from hate is not very far apart, not very thick. And that is something we need to be careful. If we saw the whole picture, no problem. We could put up a boundary. We could know when our hate is really love and our love is really hate. But it's something we need to work on, to work very hard. The seventh pasuk. Tachatze katsalik anana al mishkena v'shara alo kali nun ratikin v'kali nun mane mashkena dilel kulhu hawo goyanana makitiv bilo yakol moshe labo elohel moed ki shachan alav te'anan ukti v'yavo Moshe betoch e'anan Vayehi Moshe behar arbaim Yom v'arbaim laila I Moshe lachawa Yakilia ala lemashkina Amai hawa yati betura Koli nun arba'in yomin. Come and see. When the cloud rose over the tabernacle and rested on it, all of those chariots and all of those vessels of the supernal tabernacle, which is Malchut, were within the cloud. Therefore it is written, and Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting, for the cloud rested on it. He questions. It is written, and Moses went up into the midst of the clouds, and Moses was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. If Moses could not enter the tabernacle because of the cloud which rested on it, how could he enter the cloud and remain on the mountain for 40 days? And I am adding, a great question asked by the Zohar. Another question, if all of Malchut was in the cloud, is it referring to potential energies or physical things? There's no answer to these questions yet, but once a question is asked, it is a vessel to reveal the light of the answer. The eighth pasuk. Ella, let me add one other. Yes.
This is Ruby. I have a question about.
Go ahead, Ruby.
Did he have control over Malchut?
Moshe was a channel, a chariot for Zeranpin. Zeranpin controls Malchut. Nothing happens in our physical world or in Malchut that does not have a cause that comes from the spiritual, which is Zeranpin. So it's very easy to answer that question. Moses, being the channel for Zeranpin, controlled Malchut.
Thank you.
And I wanted to say one thing. Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to add one thing to these questions and the idea of these questions. But the potential energies and the physical things, what's the difference between potential and actual? It's the difference between Keter and
potential
Malchut. Say again?
Potential is not yet developed or has not come to fruition. You have the ability, it's like an ability there, but it hasn't manifested. I don't know if it, did I answer your question? I mean, that's...
There's a, No, I understand what you're saying, and I understand the definition. But let me clarify the question.
Okay.
When you travel, when you do astral travel, are you in potential or in manifestation?
You're manifesting.
It's a question. You're manifesting, but you're in potential. So is there a difference? That's what I wanted to help help explain the question. Because is the place where you travel in astral travel potential or actual? Is it a dream world? A world that doesn't exist? Or does it exist, but you don't have the senses to reach it in another way with your body?
I think it exists.
Or are the limited senses what keeps you out of that world? The questions are easy to ask. The answers are not as easy to come by. Should I continue?
Sure.
The eighth pasuk. Ela tere anane awo hadial beyam shevichad dishari al mashkena tachatse makitiv uvod Hashem male et ha mishkan mila la ketiv ela male dehawa shelim leela witata im mishkana diltata takunaya tamira tenachat letata beitachnat shekinta. He answers, there were two clouds. One cloud which Moses entered, and in which he remained on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This cloud is of Malchut, and one cloud which rested on the tabernacle. This cloud is drawn from the left column of Bina, and Moses was unable to enter it. Come and see what is written, and the glory of Hashem filled the tabernacle. Literally, it is not written filled, but was full, which implies that a fullness was achieved on high in Bina, and below in Malchut, with the enclosing of the cloud in the tabernacle below. A concealed means of perfection, which is called cloud, descended from the left column of Bina down to the Shekhinah, which is called tabernacle and tent of meeting. And the Shekhinah was perfected. You will note my commentary, and I also want to add something more to this. You will note that there is a significant commentary by Rabbi Ashlag. The capital letters of all of the Zohar that we put here, the capital letters is an indication that it's the commentary by Rabbi Ashlag. It's called the Sulam commentary, the latter commentary, what elevates you. The regular letters are the translation of the Zohar from the Aramaic, the original Aramaic. And also know that the Aramaic used in the Talmud is a different dialect than the Aramaic used in the Zohar. You cannot just translate people who are familiar with the Talmud, who read directly from the Aramaic in the Talmud and understand that dialect, do not understand the Zohar. With that commentary, the Sulam, we learn that the clouds represent the light, which is fulfillment of the desires within Malchut, but and also within Bina. If something is fulfilled, there is no new desire. This is not the plan of creation, since desires are meant to grow, so that more of the light of Hashem can be revealed. Perfection is not meant to be concealed in the plan of creation. The Kabbalists indicate that there are some things that are to remain concealed sometimes. This seems to me to be a paradox. The other thing I wanted to mention is you have two Hebrew words expressed by Rabbi Ashlag in his translation here. One is called tabernacle, which is the Mishkan, and one is called tent of meeting, which is Ohel Moed. Ohel Moed is really the tent of meeting is really not an accurate translation. Ohel means tent. Moed is the Hebrew word, to my knowledge, that means additional, that means added to. What did you add to the tent? Well, the translation to the English is telling us is this is where people met. This is where Moses taught. And the Midrash explains that the teaching, what happened was that Moses taught Aaron in the tent of meeting. And then Moses left, all of the people gathered. Moses taught everyone. Then he left. And Aaron taught everyone else. And then his children taught, Aaron as the high priest taught everyone else. And then it was the elders. My mistake. Aaron's children was a level unto themselves. They taught everyone else because Moses and Aaron were not there. They had left the tent. And then there was the elders, or the Sanhedrin, and they taught the general population. So that each level ultimately received the appropriate teachings and the appropriate understandings that they were that they needed for the level that they had reached. Tent of meeting is a corruption, in my opinion. Ohel Moed means temple of time. Moed is, we call the intermediate days, Chol HaMoed, Moed. It's related to time. It's related to addition above spatial levels, above the three dimensions. The ninth pasuk. Arba sitrin demashir yan itkanizu tekuna kadma'a dechad mishmara meinun Dalid Mashiryan Kola Adit Takanu Reshalistar Yamina Tzadkiel Rav Mimana Rav Mashiryan Deihu Tachot Shultana Demikal The Mikael, the Ime Yahawo, Mitaknan Kolinun, Mashir Yan Tehot Yudaya. Four aspects of camps of the angels, which are in Malchut, called the lower chariot, were concealed by the cloud, which descended on the tabernacle, which is Malchut. The first mending of this cloud was in the first watch of the four camps of the Shekhinah, before everything was mended. The head of the right side is Sadkiel, chief minister, superior of the camps under the dominion of Michael, and with him all the camps under him were mended. I am adding, Sadkiel implies Tzaddik of God, righteousness of God, righteous of God. Names of angels always have a name of God attached to them. Knowing which name tells us a Sephirot involved and helps us to understand the meaning of the Zohar. What was the cloud concealing and from what was it being concealed? The tenth Pasuk. Wechad mimana it kam al arba tilat arba letata begin de kol inun mashiryan ilain kad nachtin letata mishanyan shema dilchon bishmatachan Acharanim kadinun, ilain la mishtanin, lealmin behamimana, ila atzad kiel kaim alaihu legoyat chadnatzit al reshaihu. Behi Aleph Zeira, Kad Hai Aleph At Natsit Kulhu Nadlin, Lehahu Atar De Natsit Hai Natsitsu. One minister was placed in command over 4 times 3. Which are the four aspects below, each comprised of 3. When all of these supernal camps descended below, their names are changed into other names. When they remain on high, their names remain unchanged. That minister, Sadkiel, stands over them from within, and one letter glitters on their heads, a small aleph. When this letter glitters, they all travel to the place where the sparkle glitters. My commentary. This verse appears extremely esoteric. 4 times 3 is the 12 tribes. Who is the one minister placed over the tribes of Israel? The king, which is Moshe, then Joshua, then each judge in his time, then Samuel the prophet, then King David, King Solomon, then the Tzaddikim. Actually, whichever Tzaddik is the highest soul of the generation. When the small aleph glitters, the person is being called to ascend to a session of the high court in the seventh heaven, discussed in a series of classes based on the book of Hanoch. This class has not been delivered as of today. The 11th Pasuk.
Legoy minayhu Raziel Rav Mimana Rav Mashiryan Tekaima Legoy Techot Shultanuta de Mikael Vimeya Kolinun Mashiryan Dithot Yedeya Vechad Mimana Kaim Alaihu Bitar adi itkire, Rumiel v'sacharin, Leia yudbet mimanan, Tilat tilat dalet zimnin, Biraziel rav mimana, excuse me, Kaima al kulhu, Dila ishtane shemeya, Atchad natsitzal reshehu, Dekali nun, Mashir yan vehi, At rabikad chai natsitz, Dinad lin kulhu, Lehahu sitra, Dehahu netzitzu, Ayat kayama, Alon shadam dim gale, Razin visi manich resh vekalon. Inside them, that is, within the aspect of Malchut, namely Tiferet, is Raziel, the high minister and superior of the camps, who stands within and under the dominion of Michael, who is Chesed. With him are all of the camps under him. A minister named Rumiel is in charge over them at the portal, surrounded by the 12 ministers, 3 times 4. For he himself, being Tiferet, of the side of Tiferet comprises 12. For this side of Tiferet has 3 angels, Michael, who is Chesed of Tiferet, Raziel, who is Givurah of Tiferet, and Rumiel, who is Tiferet of Tiferet. Tiferet of Tiferet alone also consists of 12, just as the 4 sides of Michael do. Raziel, the high minister, is in charge over them all, for his name is not changed. One letter glitters on the heads of all these camps, the letter Resh. When it glitters, they all travel in the direction of that gleam. This letter is prepared to punish those who reveal the secrets, as indicated by poverty, the Hebrew letter and word Resh, and shame, a verse from Proverbs, as the name Resh indicates judgment. And I am adding that these names of the angels on high spoken about in Pasuk 10. Remember, the names change in different levels of consciousness. And that's because their mission changes. The 12th Pasuk. Lagoy minai hu Yofiel, Rab Mimana, Rab Meshirian, Techot Shultan Uta de Mikael, Vimeya Hawo, Mitachnan Kolinun, Mashirian Dithot, Yedea Vila Itgalian, Haka mechush bana begindila, Ishtalimu haka adiatu, Lebet olamim ditaman, Ishtalimu kulhu, Viasku mashiryan, Mishlimu umadi amaran, Aka kol inun mashiryan, Dithot yudeya deit masaru, Behahu shata, Le'ala imeya, Bechad mimana kayama, Alayhu vechachamiel, Shemeya v'yudbet, Mimanan sacharin, Leya lekol ivar,
Tilat Tilat Kima Diamaran Viofiel Rab Mimana Kaima Al Kulhu Dila Ishtane Shemeya. Inside them, that is within the aspect of Tiferet, namely Givurah, is Yofiel, the high minister and superior over the camps under the dominion of Michael. With him were fitted out all of the camps under him. Not all the camps here are revealed in terms of numbers. This is the illumination of Chochmah which prevails in the left column, which is Givurah, as explained earlier. This is because they are not complete here until they come to the eternal house, the secret of the temple built by King Solomon, where they all achieve completeness and the camps grow in perfection, which is stated here in reference to the tabernacle before they achieve completeness, is that all of these camps under Yofiel were given over at that time to enter with him. One minister is in charge over them, namely Hachachmiel, and 12 ministers surround him, 3 on each side, as stated earlier. Thus, the side of Givurah also has 3 angels, Michael, Yofiel, and Hachachmiel, being Hesed, Givurah, and Tiferet of the aspect of Givurah, and Hachachmiel, who is Tiferet of Givurah, CCC in himself consists of 12, as does the whole assembly, for Tiferet always includes everything. And Yofiel, the high minister, is in charge over all of them, for his name does not change. The 13th Pasuk. As you can see, we've run over and we've only gone about halfway through. I'm going to read the 13th Pasuk. And then we'll discuss whether we will continue this till next year, because on Thursday we're going to be discussing the new year, the new month of Nisan, and all of the spiritual work involved in the holiday of Passover. At chad natzitz al reshaihu dekol ilein mashriyan vihi et kuf chad natzitz dana kulhu Lehahu sidra dehahu natitsu Hai at kuf talya yo Be'avira be'achta Telat zimnin bioma Besalkin v'nachta Tiren Advan Ilain Kari Nun Advan Bekaimin Viem Saita Hadichafe Leat Aleph Vechadifahafia Al Yudhi Livatar. One letter glitters over the heads of all these camps, the letter Kuf, for this letter glitters on the aspects of Givurah. When it glitters, they all travel in the direction of that glittering. This letter Kuf is suspended in the air, and the judgments in it are subdued 3 times a day. This is through the radiance of the 3 supernal columns of Zeranpin, which is called day. However, before it is mitigated by the 3 columns, it goes up and down, meaning that the Chochmah in it is drawn to descend downward, and then the Kuf is in judgment.
Then one of these two letters, Kuf and Resh, which are the letters in the middle of the word Vayikra, Vav Yud Kuf Resh Aleph, covers the letter Aleph of Vayikra, and one covers the letter Yud of Vayikra, which follows the letters Kuf when starting from Malchut, which is Aleph. My commentary. In case you did not notice, the Zohar is permutating the word Vayikra. The three letters that glitter are Aleph, Resh, and Kuf. In reverse order, they spell the Shoresh word Kriya, Kuf, Resh, Aleph. Kriya is translated as read. This is an amazing revelation. When one calls with mercy, Vayikra, one is telling the person, I am reading you. Or conversely, telling the person to bring his reading with him. Do not understand this commentary on its simple level. Look at the deeper meaning of read and reading. I read a book. I read the tracts. I read the essence. And much more. Are there any questions? I don't want to keep you all up too late tonight. Feel free to continue reading the balance of the section, or we will start this section the next time we do this section in Pasuk 14. Classes this coming week. They're going to be a little bit unique because there is so much that we need to prepare for. So tomorrow at 10:30, we're going to be discussing the Shabbat HaChodesh, which is the fourth of the four Shabbats with special, unique maftirs and haftorot. Shabbat HaChodesh is the reading of the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people, to the children of Israel. Where was it given? It was given in Mitzrayim, in that narrow place. We'll talk about it. We're also going to be continuing our preparation for Passover in the general sense. And then that class is at 10:30 tomorrow morning. All of the times I'm going to mention are West Coast times. Monday at 7 o'clock, instead of our letter Resh, we will be teaching the Halakha of Passover cleaning from a Kabbalistic perspective as well as a practical perspective, because what people don't really understand, the Kabbalah and the Halakha are not separate items. We will have that class on Monday at 7 o'clock, and I'm certain that it will take us two classes, so that will continue this Tuesday at 7 o'clock, the second part. Wednesday is questions and answers, 7 o'clock. Thursday is Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the day before Rosh Chodesh. So it will be a special study about Rosh Chodesh, about Nisan, about the things that we can do, the control that we can take over the astrology, the astrological influences. We will learn about it. We will discuss it. It's part of the first 14 days of Nisan. This coming Shabbat is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So 7 o'clock Saturday night, a week from tonight, we will have a Zohar class on the next parasha. Or perhaps we'll do the second part of this section of the Zohar. Or perhaps we will do things that we didn't have time to do this week. Because as you can see, there's a lot going on spiritually, as well as physically. The preparation for Passover is very important from a Kabbalistic perspective, from a Halakha perspective, and from the control of your life. Rosh Hashanah is called the new year, the head of the year. And it refers to the quality of your life, the judgments that will be rendered in your year. But Rosh Chodesh Nisan is that level of potential. It's the length of your year. Does anyone have any questions? I wish all of you a wonderful week. Truly a special week. The last week of the year. This is the Malchut. This allows you to manifest anything that you didn't hear. Any reading of the Torah that you didn't experience. This is the last opportunity to strive to change your potential. Because it's the Malchut of the year. It's hard to understand because we speak in terms of Tafshin Ayin Hey. And we are in Tafshin Ayin Hey. But there's a crossover between potential and Malchut, between potential and actual. There's a unity between potential and actual. When something is in potential, it happens. But it takes a human being to manifest that. And this is the month of manifestation, the month of Adar. And the last week of that month is that opportunity. Shalom to all of you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.